Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn. This is the round three preview. I recapped round two. We went 2-1 on best bets. I did the recap of that in the Sunday night live show. We lost the mixed matchup again. We had the Eels to outscore the Warriors. They both scored exactly 16 for the season, 4-2 on best bets. Before I get into this week's best bets, and I do have a bunch of them to share in the first 5 minutes of this show, I want to just share some good punting theory, whether you're new or whether you've followed the pod for years. Talk about the reality of sports punting, just on the back of a bit of the feedback I've got with the most recent best bet, which lost miserably with the Tigers. Look, the truth of the matter is, bookies are not in this business to give away money, and beating the bookies is really hard to do. The $1.90 lines are set by experts to be as close as they can to a 50-50 outcome, and beating them at a rate better than 50-50 isn't easy. Like, once in a blue moon, you might get an example like we had last year where we took the Dragons plus 16.5 against the Storm in round 20, and they really should have been a favorite and they won. But for the very most part, all these odds and all these lines that we're trying to beat each week are pretty accurate and therefore not easy to beat. And I think the part that people struggle to understand is, if you just talk about a sample of 20 best bets and we're talking about the lines, of course anybody, literally anybody flipping coins can win 10 out of 20. But I think what people don't understand is how much more difficult it is to win 11 out of 20 on average over a whole season, and virtually nobody actually hits 12 out of 20 over the sample size of a whole season. And I know that might not sound right. People look at me and say, but you've got an NRL punting podcast, like, you should be right 80% of the time at least. But in fact, that's just really not possible. I've actually done a video explaining the math behind why it's impossible. So if there is someone else out there, another pod, another person that shares picks that reckons they're on the right side of the line 13, 14, 15 times out of 20, then obviously you should be following that person, not me, because I'll never promise that to you guys. Personally, I've never seen it done by anybody in any sport. And the reason I want to say that is because even if I do the best of my ability and have a great season, which I hope I will this year, I'm just being upfront, I will lose 4 out of every 10 tips on average. And then if you look at those 4, there'll be a couple of close losses. No doubt there'll be some heartbreaks, but there'll be some shockers in there as well. And I know that some people, my betting style is not always popular with some people, because sometimes I take those teams that nobody else wants to back. I know it can be more fun betting try scorers or betting a bunch of favorites in a multi. I'm not saying those methods don't work. It's just not what's worked for me. It's not what's worked for the Tripod for 7 years. So I've got to stick to what I know. And I know that I'll continue to cop criticism, especially when I take a bad side and then they get flogged. But that's just how I found in the long run. Every time I make a pick, I believe it's going to win. But I know that, of course, they don't all win. And I just believe more will win than lose in the long run. On that note, let's try and find some winners for round three. 6 best bets. Last week I had 3, the week before 3. But I just like a lot of the matchups this week. And just a reminder before I shout out the best bets, this pod previews on YouTube. So if you're watching on YouTube on the live video right now, you're seeing it along with the very first people in Australia that are watching this. And my first best bet is on the round opening game, taking the Panthers. This is on Bet365 in a market to score more tries line. And I'm taking the Panthers plus half a try at $1.80. Quite simply, it's a revenge spot for Penrith, as we all know. The Storm pack is depleted. Pappenhausen is out. I understand Nathan Cleary is also a huge loss, but the Panthers do cover him, bringing in Matt Burton. The Panthers are at home. Both teams are missing their first choice kicker, but I'll take the team plus half a try in the try handicap. Next up, I've got the Friday game. I'm taking the same market, Manly, to score more tries with the line plus half a try. This means they can score more tries than St. George or the same number of tries. We win. It's $1.80 also on Bet365. In round three, you're always looking for that kitchen sink team. I think that's Manly. They're winless. They have played the Roosters and Bunnies, so they haven't looked great, but I think they've got a bit more to offer this week against the Dragons. In fact, I think they are still the slightly better roster than the Dragons. I don't see any areas of the park where St. George has the clear advantage, apart from maybe kicking, but this market isn't affected by goal kicking. I think Manly wins this, or it's a tight game. Then I'm taking the Roosters -3.5 at $2 odds on Ladbrokes and Ned's next best $1.91 against the Bunnies in the marquee matchup of the round. Simple, again, it's revenge. Last time they played each other, the Roosters lost 60-8. I don't think the Roosters have forgotten that. They get Victor Radley's season debut for him. They get Angus Crichton back. They just look more polished to me. I think they've got more to prove. I think they cover the short line. Then I'm taking the Broncos on Saturday. Yes, gulp, the Broncos. Same as the Roosters, exact same line. -3.5, $2, Ladbrokes and Neds. You can lay -2.5. It's essentially, it's the same number, basically. I'm willing to bet it doesn't land on three, and you can get $1.91. But if you can get that $2 line, have at it. This is Brisbane's grand final as far as I'm concerned. They're trying to avoid a record losing streak. They're the home team. They've showed me signs of life this year, which I hadn't seen from them in seasons past. I think they still actually win the forward battle here. I think it's a bit of a misnomer that the Dogs have like a really strong forward pack. They're still without Luke Thompson. The Dogs' attack doesn't scare me either, so I'm willing to lay the points. Again, a short number with the Broncos on Saturday. Another best bet on Saturday, I'm on the Slippery Eels, -7.5. $2 lines on Ladbrokes and Neds, 7.5 on every other bookie as well. And I think the Eels are a significant level above the Sharks. I think that their spine is really in sync. They're in form. I think the Eels have the stronger forward pack. They're at Wankbest Stadium. And I don't think the Sharks' defense is good enough to keep this game tight. I think that the Eels will roll over them. And finally, the Knights-Tigers game. Got a best bet. My best bet is neither team to 30. That's $1.94 on Sportsbet. This is Mitchell Pearce's 300th game. I really believe the Knights are defensively sound. You guys know I bet on the Knights in round one and bet against the Warriors points total with the mixed matchup last week. I think Knights are good defense, but they're incomplete in attack until Ponga returns. And I think that they'll just come out in Mitchell Pearce's 300th and try and focus on effort and minimizing errors. And they'll think that they'll be too good for the Tigers. But the Tigers, on the other hand, which we know have cost us our only losing best bets of the season, they're 0-2. They've got to be desperate. They've got to be more focused on improving their defense and getting in the grind in this one. I think that neither team gets to 30. Last round, only one team out of the all eight games scored 30 or more. As I said, and sorry, I went a little over 5 minutes there, guys, but had six best bets on six different matches to share. Don't back any of them blindly. Only jump on the ones you agree with. Apply your own filter on top. If your filter says to you, I'm not trusting the Tigers, and you didn't back any of my Tigers' best bets, you're undefeated on tips you've followed. Just one last thing I want to say, and then I'll try not to repeat this too much through the season. Look, I've done the pod long enough to understand that there'll always be a bit of negativity, a bit of trolling, a bit of criticism. You know, people even private message me and tell me how bad a tip was when it loses. And in like last round's a good example where I'm happy to go 2-1, but I'll always get more comments about the one loss than I will about the two wins. And that's just the way it is. And I'm not trying to say, please don't be negative or don't troll, because I think the people that that message would fall on deaf ears. But what I am saying is, guys, we've done this for 6 years. As you guys know, we had two hosts for the last 6 years. You're down to one host. I love the NRL. I love punting on it, and I love sharing my knowledge with the 99% of people who follow along, who are great people and that I know appreciate the hard work. And all I ask maybe is the people who do appreciate it, help me shift the ratio of positivity. Give the video a like if you're not someone who usually presses like. Leave a positive comment. By all means, disagree with anything I have said. No issues at all with any disagreement, differing opinions. Just put it out there before the game like I do every week. And let's get into that on that note. Let's talk about the games before they happen. Start with the grand final rematch. And it's worth noting in the season preview, I actually said if I had to pick a grand final for 2021, I would pick Penrith and the Storm to meet again. And I would actually pick Penrith to turn the tables on them. But we're a long way off that. And there's several teams putting their hand up saying that they're true contenders this year. These two teams are no different. Now, I said my best bet, Penrith, team to score more tries is the name of the market, +0.5, and it's $1.80 on Bet365. So since last week, it's worth mentioning Appy Korosau is out. You won't see like the team list saying he's out this week because it's not a change, because he missed the game last week, but he was a late scratch last week. And of course, Nathan Cleary copped a swinging arm, and they're going to play it safe. With a short turnaround with the HIA protocol, he's not going to play. And that is a bit of a shame, because you would have loved to see Nathan Cleary, who's the most important player, most valuable player on this Penrith team, lead them to try and get some redemption. I really think Cleary is on that kind of Jonathan Thurston level when you think of the way he plays the game, his leadership, the way he kicks the ball in the game, and of course, kicking at goals. So it's a shame, but man, you've got a pretty capable replacement in Matt Burton that can come in and play 5/8, and Luai moves to 7. In a grand final rematch, I just always want to be on the loser. I feel like they've had that game circled on the calendar. I feel like that coach has thought long and hard about how to beat the opponent, and so have the players. For the Storm, I've got reasons kind of for them and against them. I mean, they had a great start to the season, opening a half of the year, 22-0 lead to the Bunnies. And since then, they lost the second half to the Bunnies, it was a tied first half against the Eels, and then they lost the second half to the Eels. I mentioned Finucane's been out. Obviously, you lost Cameron Smith, but you don't have Harry Grant there either. Tino has moved on. Brenko Lee is injured. Now Kafusi suspended and Papenhuyzen out. Plus Nelson Asofa-Solomona is carrying an injury, has been named. That's a lot of question marks, and that's not quite that same forward pack, which really was the reason that they could beat anybody last year. It started with the forwards, as much as they've got the glamorous outside backs. Now, they do have a longer turnaround in their favour, and they are off a loss, and you do have to be brave taking on the Storm after a loss. But ultimately, I just really feel like Penrith, to me, should win this game, and they are a slight underdog, and I love taking a team where I get them in an underdog market, where this is actually ironically the same market that we took in the grand final plus half a try. And although they lost 26-20, it was a four tries each affair, and so we actually won that best bet on Penrith in the grand final. We're taking it again here. And I know this will sound really silly as well, but I almost wonder if Bellamy doesn't mind losing a couple games early in the season just to ensure his defending champion team has no complacency. So I've got more faith that Penrith wants this game more. I know what they're all about. I know their forward pack and their left edge is just absolutely nasty. I think Matt Burton covers Cleary even better than what a Nicho Hynes would cover Papenhuyzen. I'm willing to take Penrith plus half a try. Move to Friday. The Dragons play the Seagulls, and I'll boldly predict this one won't be the 2021 Grand Final. And I've mentioned my best bet. I'm going to take Manly plus half a try again on Bet365. I saw better signs from both these teams in round two. Obviously, St. George had a good win. They've come in unchanged, but I spoke in the recap of the fact that Manly actually made the Bunnies sweat, although the score blew out late. Cade Cust is in HIA. He's only been playing off the bench anyway. Andrew Davey, tragically, is out. But I like this move of bringing Schuster in to the second row, but he's a ball-playing second rower. Look, I spoke about this in the first 5 minutes. Round three, you're always looking for those winless teams because being 1-2 feels so much easier to stomach than being 0-3 for a season after you've had like a, you know, a long preseason, as everybody has, and worked so hard to build up for the year. Nobody wants to fall into an 0-3 hole. So I know I'll get a big effort out of Manly. I'm not saying St. George won't, but I look across the park and I still think Manly can match St. George across the park. I think it'll be a great battle of Hunt versus Cherry Evans, a couple of Queensland number sevens there. But I think Manly at the very least makes this a tight game. If anything, I'd be worried about Zach Lomax, who hasn't missed a goal since 2020. But by playing half a try, it doesn't matter. If he kicks goals a lot better than Ruben Garrick, we could still win this bet if they score the same number of tries. That's why I like Manly in this one. And then we move to the Rabbitohs hosting the Roosters. And my best bet is Roosters -3.5 at $2. And you can get that. If you can't get the $2 line, you'll get them $1.91 anywhere else. I must say I do love these marquee matchups being put in different rounds other than round one. This was often a round one matchup. But the thing is, in round one, we'll take any footy. We'll take any action. We don't need it to be like the big blockbuster. So then I love the fact that they kind of sprinkled these in through the year. Look, how about this? I was just thinking about this. In 2018, the Roosters were the best team in the comp. In 2019, the Roosters were the best team in the comp. In 2020, pre-injuries, you remember that tear they went on last year? They were the best team in the comp after COVID. And in 2021, we've only seen two games. But I think apart from Penrith, you'd say the Roosters are in the best form of anybody in the comp. So it's quite remarkable what they do, and they're still far from full strength. But I will say one other thing. If you, as a team, wants to impress me, it's when they win big against one of my best bets, because I try and put best bets against sides that I don't think they're in the most favorable conditions. Well, I had a best bet and they absolutely pulled my pants down, gave me a spanking. So that actually impresses me. And it reminds me of last year. We had a best bet on the Bunnies to beat Penrith in round seven. And we really felt confident that a lot of things were aligning for the Bunnies to win that Thursday night matchup. And when Penrith won, we really had to reevaluate, hey, maybe Penrith's a bit better than we thought. A couple of days later, we gave you guys Penrith to win the minor premiership and called that they wouldn't be an underdog for the next 12 rounds. They weren't, and they basically wrapped the minor premiership up with a fortnight to go. So you want to impress me, you win big against one of my best bets. The Roosters do impress me. Now, in terms of personnel news, the Rabbitohs are sweating on Adam Reynolds, although I think there's a difference with him in the HIA protocol compared to Cleary, and that is an extra day and lower severity of the hit. They even said potentially Reynolds could have gone back on in the game against Manly, but Bennett was liking the way Benji was playing, so they played it safe. These teams, and both these sides have an embarrassment of riches. These teams have the luxury to play it safe with their stars. So I expect Adam Reynolds plays, and I do give the edge to the spine, to the Bunnies in this one, despite the best bet. I mean, you look at, in the number 6, Cody Walker, and the number 9, Damian Cook, and compare that to the Roosters, where you've got Lachie Lamb in at 6, and you've got Darcy Lussick at 9. But if we're talking about ball playing, Keary is taking on an even greater role this year. Teddy is doing more ball playing than I've seen before. And Victor the Inflictor off the bench, we know can come in and play some 9 or some ball playing 13. What about that bench? They've got Rio Hargraves on the bench as well. So, look, both these teams are stacked. But for me, when I looked at this game, I knew I could only play the Roosters. When you consider last time they met, they got 60 put on them. I really think they're going to remember that, and they're going to be out for a bit of redemption. And I think they're just sharper at this point in the year, whereas I still think, as you guys know, with the Rabbitohs, it's all about winning a prelim this year, something they couldn't do the last 3 seasons. They don't have tunnel vision in this first month or two of the season. It's all about building for them. So I think that we might get the more desperate side if we take the Roosters in the huge age-old rivalry there. Move to Saturday. And this might be a game you guys actually were expecting a best bet on. I did consider it. Raiders against the Warriors. The line, I believe, is 10.5. And Jared Croker returns for the Raiders, who are 2-0 this year, and deservedly so. Kind of unlucky. Sebastian Chris, he's played well, but he has to give up his spot to the co-captain. The Warriors are unfortunate not to be 2-0 as well. They only lost in the final 5 minutes to the Knights, and that wasn't the only unfortunate thing that happened in that game. Harris Tavita out long-term with a foot injury. Tanoa Brown got suspended. Bailey Sirenin also got injured. So the key move there is Sean O'Sullivan, who's had a cup of coffee at the Roosters and the Broncos, comes in and plays the 7. I would have liked to see Paul Turner, but we'll see how O'Sullivan goes for the Warriors and how he goes alongside Nick Arima. Look, if I was going to bet this game, I could only play the Warriors catching the double digits. You could say maybe the Raiders will have heavy legs. They're off the Sunday night game, which was played in the wet, whereas the Warriors come in on an 8-day preparation. But that's about the only knock I can put on the Raiders. They're so deep. And I just worry the Warriors have hung tough the last couple of matches. Obviously, they were too good for the Titans, and then they were in the game up to their eyeballs against the Knights. But with a new 7... and you're playing the Raiders in Canberra, if they fall behind and have to chase points, that Raiders defense just gets in your face. I could see this being a game where they fall behind and struggle to get back into it. So I don't have the confidence to take the points with the Warriors, but I respect the talent level of that squad too much to consider betting against them. No best bet there. Broncos, Bulldogs. So I am taking the Broncos for a best bet. -3.5, as I said. Get that $2 line if you can, if not on Lads and Neds. But if not, get -$2.5.91 everywhere else. So Brisbane goes unchanged, even though they were fairly embarrassed at the Gold Coast last weekend. There are reports that Dearden has been doing some training at 9 and 7. So I'd suspect he gets a utility spot perhaps and comes into this team. But some faith by Kevy being shown that he's not going to totally throw the baby out with the bathwater there just after a bad loss. I guess he doesn't have a lot of choices until they get a few more first stringers back. The Dogs, on the other hand, lose for Tyler Mariner, and also Wetenny Zelezniak is suspended. Look, I just really feel that the Broncos need this game more. Obviously, both teams are downtrodden, both teams are winless, but look at Brisbane. They have lost 15 NRL matches in a row. In fact, the last time they won was at home to the Bulldogs. And look, last year, if you ever bet on Brisbane, and sadly we did probably a couple too many times, I mean, we were onto how bad they were, but towards the end of the year, even we got sucked into like, oh, surely they can beat the Cowboys in round 20. And it was never a smart idea to bet on Brisbane last year. But last year, they had no soul, no life. This year, they've showed me enough. They were tough against the Eels for long periods there, and they hung in there against the Titans. Well, in fact, even mounted a little fight back last week. And really, it's just these lapses in games that have cost them the last 2 weeks. So I can see the life. And talent-wise, I really think Brisbane still is a slightly stronger roster. I think anybody who's going to say the Dogs are the stronger roster just means you rate Avarillo and Flanagan higher than you do Croft and Milf. And maybe that's fair enough, but I think even Croft and Milf can have a better game, considering their forward pack isn't up against the Eels or the Titans. They've got that little bit more of an advantage. I think the Broncos pack can win the battle here, and they're at home. I think the Broncos should win this game, and it's a low number to cover again for the line. Saturday night, the Eels host the Sharks at WankBest Stadium. The line is 7.5 across the board, and that is my best bet as well. Parramatta minus 7.5. So Ryan Madison is out. He got that, it was either a neck or a head injury from the elbow from Kalfusi. And Wonga Blake was a late scratching, injured, and he's going to be out at least a month, I think like a calf tear. So he's out. But as we saw, Niokore went in and played out of position at center and actually filled in really well. And as for Madison, well, they've recruited Papali'i, and he's a really quality replacement in the second row there. But of course, we have to acknowledge, you're still going to miss Ryan Madison, and then you lose Papali'i's impact off the bench. So Eels come in slightly under strength, but ultimately, they've really impressed me, the Eels. And you look at the ladder, I think there's six, maybe even seven, if you include Newcastle, who are 2-0, teams that believe they should make the top four. They believe they're good enough to make the four. And the Eels are definitely one of those teams, and the Eels are at home. They're better than the Sharks across the park. They've had 9 days to prepare for this game compared to the Sharks off 6 days. Look, you go out and beat the defending champs in the Storm, it's a waste if you don't consolidate that performance and come out and win this one. And I expect that they will. I think whether or not this line was value to me, I think, as I said last week, I laid the minus 7.5 with the Titans. I think in the new era, there are opportunities to play more favorites where the favorite gets on top and gets a bit of a roll on. And you look at like the Sharks were getting 6.5 points at home last week in the rain to Canberra. Well, now they're getting 7.5 away to the Eels. I don't think the Eels are any worse than Canberra. That's maybe I'm high on the Eels, but so far they're kind of proving me right. I really think that spine is gelling. These guys are in great form. And on that note, as well as the best bet, this is also going to be my mixed matchup, or half of my mixed matchup anyway. I'm taking the Eels to outscore the Bulldogs at $2 odds, and you can have up to $200 on that. My logic is I really like the Eels' attack. I think if anything, their scoring has been suppressed because the Broncos caught them napping and they didn't score any points first half of round one. And then they had to play the Storm last week in the rain. If they'd had to play any you know, softer sides on in a day game in good conditions, they might have shown a lot more of what they can do in attack, which could be the case in this one. The Sharks are not a very formidable defensive side. And on the Doggies' point of view, I've already explained why I've got a best bet against the Dogs. And I think Brisbane are virtually playing a grand final, so I don't think they're going to allow a ton of points. I think the Dogs' attack has still got a lot of work to do. That's why my mixed matchup is taking the Eels to outscore the Bulldogs. That mixed matchup market is on TopSport, of course. And if you haven't got TopSport, you can join them with the promo code TRIPOD. I've had some people tell me they're waiting to join up until I break the duck on the mixed matchup. So I'm always trying to do that every week. As I said last week, $3.50 odds, and we lost by 1 point. This week, $2 odds, but I've got even more confidence we can get up this week. Now, speaking of top sport, next up, before I get to the Sunday games, my breakdown, I know you want to hear all about my thoughts on Tigers Knights. Here's Tristan. He's going to tell us quickly how they did last week in round two in terms of which games the punters did the best and worst, and also share his insights into where the money has been and all the interest around the player personnel moves in the Storm Panthers game as well. Give a better insight from the bookies' perspective into round three. So here's Tristan from Top Sport, followed by my preview of the Sunday games.
Hello, Tripod family. It's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. We're bouncing back from a very tough week. The punters are way too good for us in round two, where the worst result of the weekend was actually the Panthers Bulldogs game. The line moved pretty heavily towards the Bulldogs throughout the week with all the wet weather expected. But on jump time, we took a pretty sizable bet on the minus. We've got over 200 markets on each of these games, and the unders options were well supported throughout the entirety of the week with the bog conditions and the wet weather expected all that period. So when the unders lobbed, the Panthers saluted. It was a pretty ordinary result in here in TopSport HQ. The best result of the weekend for us, and there were few and far between, but that was actually the Knights and Warriors game. The Warriors were very, very well supported. There was concerted push for them all through the week, and when the Knights scored a late try, that plunge fell by the wayside. We've got a really good round of footy coming up. Round three looks like a top group of games. We've got the top four teams playing off. We've got some of the weaker sides facing off against each other. So we're looking forward to some really competitive matches, hopefully some dry weather footy. The biggest plunge of the weekend, or the biggest movement of the game, sort of, is the Panthers-Storm game. The game opened at $1.90 pick'em, got into $1.82, $2 Panthers favourites once Cleary got named. Then Cleary pulled out and the market switched. We laid at $1.80. Melbourne laid the $1.80. Got into $1.75, laid that again. Then laid the minus two. So we got in as short as $1.70 Melbourne, $2.20 the Panthers. Then Pappenhausen pulled out. So we then laid the Panthers at $2.20, $2.10, $2. It's back into Pick'em. So there's been a huge move both directions, but we're back to exactly where we were when the markets opened. $1.90, take your pick. The totals have moved down quite significantly on the back of the two leading point scorers or attacking options for both sides coming out. It's gone down from 38.5 into 35.5. It's an interesting one, this. Like, the market has moved significantly. Cleary was in some doubt when we released the market, so that move probably wasn't as extreme as it would have been if he was unknown or if it was a surprise when he came out, whereas the Pappenhausen news caught everyone by surprise. So I personally think Cleary's a bigger part of the Panthers team than Pappenhausen is, so if it was a like-for-like, you'd expect the move to be more so in Melbourne's direction, but because he was already in doubt, that's why the market's gone back to exactly where it was, even though, in our view, it probably isn't a like-for-like out. The only other game that's seen movement at this stage is the Parramatta game and the Sharks. The Sharks have moved from 8 flat into 7.5. It's a real tricky game for the Eels. They played really, really well last weekend, but these are the games that sometimes catch them off guard. The Sharks have been gutsy in defence. They'll be aiming up. So the 8 into 7.5, the punters are expecting this to be a tight affair. All right, enjoy the footy over the weekend. Hopefully there's some good games and some dry weather footy, and best of luck in any of your endeavours, and gamble responsibly.
Let's move to Sunday. I know you guys will have a lot of interest in this game. It's the Knights against the Tigers, and I do have a best bet, as I said. It's neither team to 30. That's $1.94 on Sportsbet. And as I mentioned, it's Mitchell Pearce's 300th, and I do think that's meaningful. That's why I start with that. He was their captain last year. They still appreciate him in the Hunter, and his decision to come and join that squad, he's still highly respected. And even with the off-season turmoil, I think it's going to be a big Knights performance. They're 2-0, and they get Kurt Mann back from injury, from that knee injury, earlier than expected. Now, the Tigers, everyone's saying how awful they are, as if they got smashed in round one and round two. The truth is, they weren't that bad in round one. They hung in there against Canberra, and the game just didn't go their way. So I was willing to make excuses for them in round one. Round two, no excuses. They were horrible. I guess you got to at least acknowledge it was against a ruthless Roosters team. Now, their changes, Madge has actually stuck fairly well, like resisted the temptation to drop many players, but he has dropped BJ. That left side defense was diabolical, so he's out. Tommy Talau will slide to left center, and James Roberts comes back in. And my universal rule is I can never play a 2-0 team against an 0-2 team in round three. In fact, a lot of people watching will say that they will blindly autoplay all winless teams against undefeated teams in round three, because you just get that natural overrated versus underrated. So that was me looking at this game thinking, do I take the Tigers, even though I know I'm going to absolutely hit cop it from everybody who's sick of the Tigers results in this early season. And what I've landed on is betting on neither team to 30 is kind of like betting on the Tigers, because I am trusting that they do show up here and they will be desperate and they will fight tooth and nail, because if they can't fight in this one, then what the hell are they bothering playing this NRL season for, basically? And I still have enough belief that they can come out and fight with a team like the Knights after having played, you know, the upper echelon sides in Raiders and in Roosters last week and being made to look second rate or even worse. I think that they can hang in there. And with the neither to 30, I mean, I don't think the Knights are complete with their outside backs, obviously, without Kalen Ponga. And I think if there is a weakness, they don't have those super classy outside backs apart from Bradman Best. And to beat us in this bet, the Knights probably need 5 tries. And even if they score 5 tries, if they don't convert them all, they may still fall under 30 points. As I said at the top, only one team scored more than 30 last week. Granted, it was against the Tigers. But I think that's not a bad way to play this game, is expecting it to be a bit more of an arm wrestle and the Tigers to be up for the fight. Not sure who wins it. You'd think the Knights should be too classy for them. But considering one of my future's best bets for the year, the 15-1 play needs Tigers to win over 7.5 game, I'll be cheering for Wes. Maybe they come good this week. But it doesn't really matter whether they cover the line or not, as long as they keep it respectable and don't get blown out by the Knights. That's what I'm betting for my best bet. And finally, the Cowboys host the Titans. And the Cowboys are in bad shape. I spoke about this on the recap. Since last pod, you've probably heard the news. Tamalolo broke his hand at training. He didn't play against the Dragons. They lost. That's at home as well. Kyle Felt got suspended. All this noise is in the media that Valentine Holmes needs to be moved to fullback, and they need to move Drinkwater into the halves and this and that. But last year, all the noise was Val's not a fullback. Val's a winger. Like, the attack's not working because Val needs to, you know, needs to play on the wing. So it just seems like it's easy for everyone to criticize what they're doing because of the results. I'm not going to pretend I have the answer. I think they've got like a lot of issues up there in North Queensland. On the Titans side of things, Ash Taylor is out. Tanner Boyd is in. And look, one thing about the Titans, while we covered the best bet, they made me sweat a little bit last week. They scored 22 straight points. They were winning the game 28-6. 28-4, in fact. And they didn't carry on with it. And the really good teams know how to bury somebody. And that's what I would have liked to see out of the Titans. And if you want to lay the points with the team, you want to know they've got that killer instinct. And maybe that's something that Holbrook will develop. The first part is getting them to be able to win those type of games, which he's done. But the next level, if you want to push into the eight and beyond, is to really be ruthless with sides. Will they do that this week? It's certainly possible. A lot of noise has come out of Todd Payton's start, like, are his selections correct, picking multiple hookers, or, you know, positioning, how many minutes is he playing guys, comments he's made, body language. Look, it's a long season. I think the Cows are a couple of seasons away from being in contention, but a win here would relieve a lot of pressure on him and on this squad. Again, I won't bet against an 0-2 team at home that I think will be desperate. That's the Cowboys. That's why I'm not going to take the Titans. But I also don't have the confidence in the Cowboys forward pack. I saw what the Dragons did to them, and the Titans have a better forward pack than the Dragons. It's a level up. So that's why I could see this game going either way with the line. Not enough confidence for a best bet. But I did give you guys 6 best bets for round 3. As always, please give the video a like if you appreciate it, but also comment your thoughts, good and bad. I have no objection to hearing contrary opinion, and I don't expect everyone to agree with everything I say. Tell me what you agree with. Tell me what you disagree with. What do you think of the 6 best bets? How are we going to do this week? As always, the full list of best bets, give me at least till Friday. I always check the markets, follow the player personnel news, and we'll see if there's an opportunity to add one or two more. But otherwise, I'm pretty confident about the 6 that I have shared out tonight. And a multi or two I'll release in the next day or two. So just stay tuned, Tripod app and Tripod group for that. As always, enjoy the footy as well, guys. And please gamble responsibly. Legal.